me, if you will, to Ephesians. I want to talk to you a little bit about how all this really worked. This is the sermon I was going to preach earlier. For some reason, I switched them. I can't explain myself. I'm going to erase this instead. All right. Well, before we go there, hold on to Ephesians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Just one verse. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder,
I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Wayne. I don't think my mic was on the whole time.
Is his mic on?
Yeah, I don't think my mic was on during all those things, the prayer.
Yeah, your mic's on.
No, it wasn't, I don't think. I just turned it off. Hello? Testing? 1, 2. I just turned it on. Hello? Is it off now or on?
I was hearing you through the headset, so I assume.
And you were hearing me probably through those mics right there.
Okay.
We definitely know that we're on. Testing 1, 2.
Yeah, you're on.
I wasn't on before. They were hearing me through the thing. Sorry about that. We've got Wayne in two places. I mean, if we could split them, we'd have two perfectly sized people in both places. He'd be like perfect. I mean, he's just.
For me to split. I just.
No, I know, and you're like worthy of two men, which is incredible. And you're like actually probably 2.5 men in the sense of capacity, not so much the other way. But he's like, thank God for Wayne.
Hey, when you split me, can I have the good legs and give the other Wayne the bad legs?
All right, sure. We'll split you up and down instead of sideways. All right. There is a central foundation to the Bible. And the problem is people don't understand dispensational theology. But it's not that we disagree with the Jews. It's that different things came along. But he asked a question in Matthew 16. Go to Matthew 16. Jesus Christ asked a question to Peter. And when you think about rightly dividing the word of truth, and especially when you get into later Pauline type epistles, you can see what starts happening. Verse 16. Well, I'm going to start in verse 15. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Jesus and Simon Peter answered and said, and I want you to underline this, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, that's what they believed. That was the foundation. That, by the way, is what? It's the gospel of God. The good news of God is this is what? My beloved Son. Y'all with me? Say yes. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. During that period of time, they're promoting the gospel of God. What is the gospel of God? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everybody. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, by the way, there are many Church Christ believe that's all you have to believe, is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? But then there's a gospel that builds upon that. During that time, there's some good news added. What is it? The gospel of the kingdom. What was the good news about the kingdom? The king was there. The good news is the gospel is that Christ, the king, was there. And had they received him as king, it would have been over. Did God know that it wasn't going to happen that way? Yeah, he did. He did. And he built on that concept. Go to Matthew 24. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. What's the good news about the kingdom? Christ was coming down to rule as promised all the way back in all these Old Testament scriptures. That's what they were all about. That Jesus Christ was going to return to earth and set up a what? Well, they didn't realize that there were going to be a few years in between all that. This is the 1,000 years. And he's going to set up his throne. They didn't realize that there's this huge gap, if you will, in the middle. They didn't have that concept. When the prophets looked, they could see this part of the hill and they could see this part of the hill, but they couldn't see the valley in between. So their prophetic eyes saw the cross and this and the second coming, but they didn't realize. And have you ever noticed that when you see two things, you kind of think they're standing right next to each other? That's what they thought. Yeah, like a dip in the road. How many saw a dip in the road and then all of a sudden you get on that hill and you say, man, I didn't know this dip was there. Y'all understand? Same thing was true with the prophetic eye. Okay, you guys are staring at me like I'm insane. Robert, especially you, brother. No, do y'all get what I'm saying? I mean, I wore a tie for this today. Come on, tighten it up. Don't I look a little more like a preacher now? And you can't. That's the whole point. And that's what they saw. Now, the gospel of the kingdom is what they preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what was the other gospel they preached? The gospel of God, which is that Jesus is the Christ. But hold it. He gets to a point where he doesn't want them to know that he's the Christ. Go to, Matthew 13. After Matthew 13, he quits trying to promote that he's the Christ. Verse 10. I love religious people, don't you? They're so idiotic. It makes you almost want to throw up when you really think about it. Oh, these parables are so deep. Why did Jesus Christ talk in parables? It was a mystery. He gave us the answers in the King James Bible, but he didn't give them the answers. Y'all understand? A little bit? Muy poquito? All right. Let's back up just a little bit. Verse 1. Matthew 13, verse 1. Hang on. Ooh, that's exciting. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitudes were gathered together with unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Underline that in your Bible. He spoke to them in parables. You see that? And then he finally gives them verse 9. Ah, sorry about that. Welcome to the world of the preacher. That's so interesting. I don't understand it. I'm fascinated by it. I'm not too frustrated, sort of, a little bit, when it interferes with preaching. Verse 9. Who hath ear to hear, let him hear. Let the disciple, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you putting it in mystery form? Why aren't aren't you just speaking clean English? Why aren't you just shooting straight with them? And he said, he answered and said unto them. Unto them who? The disciples. Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not what? So even though the gospel, there were mysteries about the kingdom, it wasn't for them to know. Now, do you all know what the mystery is there? There was going to be a little harvest right after the cross. But the big harvest was right over here during the tribulation for Israel. And he said, don't look out there and say we have 4 months before the harvest. I tell you, the fields are what? Because the sower had gone out and sowed seed. And he said, you know, you got to leave it alone. Why? He was talking about the sower. What was the seed? It was the Word of God, wasn't it? And on and on. The point that I'm making with this is that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's denying basically that he's the Christ. He tells them, don't to tell anybody. Go back to Mark 16 for a minute. He's telling them nothing about the mystery there, about the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that's not the verse I wanted. Where's the verse that says, tell no man that I'm the Christ? Oh, verse 20, here it is. Then he charged he his disciples that they should tell. Now, he withheld the mysteries of the kingdom, right? In verse 13. Now, he's telling them not to preach the gospel of the, what? Gospel of God. He's saying, tell no man that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the what? Well, what was the testimony that they were going to build a church on? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, isn't that fascinating? The mystery of the kingdom. Matthew 16, verse 20. Did I not correct that? You all don't have ESP yet? Huh. All right. Matthew 16, I'm sorry. What were you doing underlining Mark 16:20? That won't make any sense at all. Did you underline yours? Norm, did you? Thank God. Tony, did you underline Mark 16:20? Good. Well, at least you got smarts. I have no idea what that crazy preacher's talking about. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, there's something good to just kind of sloughing through the pages. You don't make very many mismarks. Verse 20. Then charged he. Now remember, he kept back the mystery from the multitude, didn't he? Of what? The kingdom of heaven, right? Which has to do with the gospel of the kingdom, right? He's holding back some of that. And then he charges his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. After he said that's what we're going to build the church on. So you know from Matthew chapter 12 to Matthew 16, from about that point on, he isn't trying to win anybody, quote, to the Lord. Y'all understand? What is his ministry? Training 12 men to get Israel through the what? Got it? But hold it, the whole thing gets interrupted by Paul. Here's Acts chapter 9. And in Acts chapter 9, Paul starts to do some building. And he builds on the gospel of Christ. What did Peter preach in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7? Gospel of the circumcision. Got it? Which had to do with his training in this period of time. You with me? Whatever Jesus trained him in this period of time from Matthew chapter 12 to 16, all the way through the end of the books, That is what they're training in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Y'all with me? You got it? They have not learned that Christ had died for their sins. Did they get that concept? No. Why? When did they think their forgiveness was going to be? Second coming. Did they ever think, by the way, how do we know that? Zechariah 13, verse 1. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 through 27. Right? Yes. Okay? Okay, that's the whole point. You're going to love this sermon. You may want to throw a little extra in the plate because it's going to be like a huge blessing. That's not a bad thing, is it? Well, I really got a blessing today. I'll throw an extra 20 in. I'm joking. No. Okay, I am. I'm twisted. I don't know what that was mumbling from the back. He's going to invite the preacher over for him. Wow. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. The reason that this is important is because really it has to do with the middle wall of petition, which is what I'm trying to build to. Okay? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm trying to think of a way to make sure it's clear. We won't lose any new people and confuse them. Do you realize up to this point there is no Jesus died for your sins, buried, rose again? Everybody understands that, right? Time's ticking along. We've gone through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Did they know that Christ was going to die? When he told them, he said, what did Peter say? Be it far from thee, this shall not happen unto you. I mean, come on, they weren't like, praise the Lord. You know, it wasn't that kind of a thing. And how about in Acts chapter 2, did you find out that he had died for all their sins and never mentions it? It's not until you get to Pauline epistles that you hear this gospel. Now, look if you will in verse 1. This is the gospel, by the way, that saves. But at this time, it wanted to save you. Do I need to say that again? Let me try that one more time. This is the gospel that saves you, but at this time, it would not have saved you. What? Yes. Yes. Could not have saved you at this period. And I'll show you. Why? In just a minute. This is so much fun. Sorry about that. I'm feeling better. You can tell, can't you? I don't know. It may be my thorn in the flesh for the rest of my life. A second. It's like my best way I can describe this. I couldn't even describe it. But my brother-in-law says, you know what it sounds like? I said, no. It sounds like you're having spasms in your diaphragm. And that's kind of how it feels. That's what it feels like. I have Tourette syndrome of the diaphragm. Well, this is down here, and I have no idea. It comes and goes. Brenda says she wishes it would come more than it goes because I can't talk. I'm like, I'm the best husband in the world. Just silence. Hang on. It's like, don't be telling everybody y'all Friday. Thank you. The flow. Well, I prefer certain people over others. All the women can do that. The men can encourage them. Well, we won't take long then. I'm sorry. I'm not hurting. I don't think I'm going to fall over dead, but I don't. What causes the spasms is very interesting. I notice after I eat, it's worse. Or when I preach a lot. Satan's trying to keep me from preaching. See, I'll just pray that that old devil just runs. Yeah. You don't even know. Sometimes it's so bad you get up and puke and bile because it's like, this is the most interesting thing I've ever had. Yeah, I said, well, the doctors will fix it. Yeah, they haven't fixed it as of yet. You know? I'm telling you, we had to figure all this stuff out. You know what the problem is? I'm just a rotten, low-down, snake in the grass, worthless human being that is saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And ain't nothing I can do to perfect myself, and I praise God for that. Pretty clear, didn't it? Let's try this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory of what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. The or are who? Who's the or in the context? Well, it would definitely be Israel, but you want the actual thing? Put Acts chapter 13. Notice who this is written to. No, it's 23 and 26. Acts 13, 23 and 26. You all write that in your Bible. You will not remember it. I know you're bright. I love the intelligence we have here. But turn there for just a minute. Let me read. 13, 23 and 26. And look at this. The or in the actual context would not have included you at this point. Y'all understand? Now, we talked about signs. Was it Wednesday night? Yes. Remember that this first part, Paul does what? Signs. Why? Because of the or in 1 Corinthians 15. That's why. The reason he's doing signs is because of the or in 1 Corinthians 15. Which is what? Verse 23. Watch this. Acts 13, 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto the world a Savior. Israel a Savior. You see that? Even Paul, when he first gets the gospel that Christ died for his sins, is given to who? Israel. I'll give you another. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. Would you put that there? All right. Now, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. That you include some Gentiles that were part of the promise. What had they done to Israel? They had blessed them somehow. But instead of just receiving a blessing, these Gentiles received what? Eternal life. Now, folks, before then, no Gentiles ever, quote, got eternal life. Before that in your Bible, there were no Gentiles. Go back to Acts 13 for just a minute, and let me show you. 13, 23, and 26 there in 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, you were talking about the The you in verse 26 includes the stock of Abraham and the new server among you feareth God. Or the Romans chapter 1 verse 16 is what I told you to put right there. No, yeah, right by 26. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3. He didn't get eternal life. He had to, you know, had to do those things that God had. I mean, it was not obvious that he was ever sealed or anything. Yeah, he was part of the Gentile type fabrication. I don't know. Good question. See? Quit thinking. No, I'm just kidding. All right, y'all with me so far? Hello? Go back. Oh, I wanted to come down. Verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. That's also a place where you need to put Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? What? Much in every way. You with me? So they do. They preach it. Verse 47. Now watch this. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the end of the earth. I would put Isaiah 49 verse 6 right there. And Acts 9 verse 15. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many were ordained to eternal life, did what? Believe. You see that? 49 verse 6. Alright, go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 then excludes those who have been Jews and Gentiles that what? Feared God. Right? That is the or of 1 Corinthians 15. How many in this room would that have included? Zero. That would have left you out cold. Aren't you glad you're in a great grace church? Fabulous teacher. Very good looking. What? I don't know. Good looking group. Guys, listen, this is the important stuff. You're not included in here yet. And Paul's doing signs and vowing vows and doing things that's very Jewish in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Romans. Very Jewish things. Y'all understand? But I believe in Acts chapter, around Acts chapter 14 or 15, right in there, when he gets stoned in Acts chapter 14, he goes far above all heavens. You with me? Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, yes. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, the reason this is important is it explains the tongues issues, the signs issues. All of those came to an end. And I'm going to show you how it transitions. I do not know exactly I can tell you at a defined time when it became boom, no more. But I can't really tell you when it started. But I'm going to try to show you where it started. I'm going to start in verse 1. Y'all there? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Now watch. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up in the third heaven. Did he know whether he was in the body or out of the body? He didn't know. I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, I believe those unspeakable words are the unsearchable riches of Christ of Ephesians. I believe he got some words that he couldn't say. Why? You couldn't have told those Jews that God was going to save Tony. They would have said, no way! That is impossible! In fact, when he does tell them that God has sent them to him, they want to kill him. Go to Acts. Go to Acts chapter 22, I think it is. That's true, but you're lower than a dog. I mean, not literally. I mean, to me, brother, you're like... But in the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 22. Now watch. He goes into Jerusalem. He gets in a trance. And the Lord... Verse 17, I'm just going to kind of cut in the context. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, where was he? Who would have been allowed in the temple? Would you have been allowed in? Would even Gentiles be allowed in? No. No, they wouldn't be allowed in the temple. They'd be in the outer court. I mean, then there were Gentiles that didn't even come near. They'd have gotten stoned. Now watch. I was in a trance, verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I'm in prison and beat in every synagogue, them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by, consenting unto his death, keeping the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Those Gentiles there are you. And when they heard that he was going to go to the Gentiles that were outside the covenant, those words were unspeakable. Why? There was no scripture, not one iota of scripture, that not one that he could prove that. You all understand? To say that God can save you, buddy, they were enough. They put up with his shenanigans up until this point. Look what happened. And they cried out and cast off their clothes. Verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word. And you know what they said? It's enough. God hadn't called you to do that. God hadn't called you to go to those Gentiles outside the covenant. They lifted up their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It's not fit that he should live. Now, he'd already been saving Gentiles all along, amen? Why, we just read it in Acts 13, verse 46. Well, there's a lot of grace believers that want to make it between the Jews and the Gentiles. That can't be. That already been happening. But when he got into that trance and he said he's going to send them far hence unto the Gentiles, those Gentiles are those of Ephesians chapter 2. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Hold on, we're going to come back. Aren't you glad you came today? I tried to plan a special blessing for you guys because of your effort. It would have been like a bummer. Now watch. Paul had made some missionary journeys to Ephesians at Ephesus. I'm feeling better though. I can breathe again. You know, it'd be nice to just fake out CPR to see if I could get a good looking jet. Give me some CPR. Gloria is a respiratory therapist. She'd rescue me, wouldn't you? You would do that for me. You are certified mouth-to-mouther. So is Brenda, I think. I mean, I don't know if she could revive me, but she's had me go in a few years. What? Huh? Yeah, you have to. I was a water safety instructor. and you need a hard surface to make compression. I'm telling you, has anybody done CPR training here other than us two? We ought to do that as a church, just so you know. You know what surprises you? How hard you've got to compress to make it work. I was shocked. I mean, you hear people breaking ribs. Wait until you feel the pressure it takes to do that. I will get the Red Cross to come down and do our church. Because that's a good knowledge to have. You know, you never know when it happens. I can also deliver children, too, so. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2. Now watch. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were with what? Without Christ. Why were you without Christ? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having how much hope? No hope, and without God in the world. Well, hold on just a second. Go to Acts chapter 18. Have I lost anybody so far? All right. We're going to come back, so just mark it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Acts 18. I went down in the passage just a little bit. Verse 19. And he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Why did he leave Aquila and Priscilla? They were Gentiles, but they couldn't go in that temple, could they? So he had already been dealing with Gentiles. Amen? And when they desired him to tarry long time with them, he consented not, but he bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep the feast which cometh in Jerusalem. Very Jewish thing that he's doing here. But I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus the first time he came. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Second time he's visited the city. Finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto them, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And I would put Matthew chapter 3, verse 6 there. And that was before Jesus ever even showed up on the scene. And Paul verily baptized them, the baptism of repentance. And then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, and said unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ, and that is Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, there. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I know that a lot of people think that was water baptism. I don't. In fact, Laura King and her husband, Bill, wrote me about Acts chapter 9. I'm not even sure whether that was water baptism in Acts chapter 9. Probably was, but it doesn't have to be. Just because the word baptism is used doesn't mean that it's necessarily water. You all with me? There's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is what they needed. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and on and on. Verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, when many were hardened, and believe not, they spake evil of that way. What's the way? It's the gospel. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And Acts chapter 3, verse 38 and 39. You need to write that in your Bible there. Acts 13, 38 and 39. And 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Which is that way. That is the gospel of Christ. That way. They spake evil of what he received on the road to Damascus. What was it that he got on the road to Damascus? That Christ had died for our sins. You with me? 13 is the first time it's preached. I personally believe he got saved by that gospel in Acts chapter 9. It doesn't really say that, and that's the debate. There's a lot of people that debate whether the church started in Acts chapter 9 or 13. I believe it started in Acts chapter 9 with the Apostle Paul, but the gospel of Christ is never mentioned until 38 and 39 in Acts 13. So, you know, so there's Grace Brethren that believe that the church started in Acts 13. None of that really matters to me. Does it matter to you? I mean, it shouldn't make that big of a deal. The fact is, we know that they're getting it. The point that I want you to see here is verse 8. And when he went into the synagogue, he spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way is what? The gospel of Christ. Before the multitudes, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued for the space of 2 years, and all that which dwelled in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greek, and on and on. And God wrought this is so much fun. I can't breathe. It's not that I can't breathe, it's that I can't get it out when I'm speaking. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. Why? The Jews require a sign. And so he gets to go in with this. And he ends up having to leave after 2 years. Acts chapter 20. Now watch this. Verse 35. Well, 28, I guess. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. As concerning your own selves, all men... shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that for the space of 3 years I have ceased not to warn you, every one, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I have not coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how it was more blessed to give than to receive. I would put 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 there, if you want a reference. And thus he spake, and when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell upon Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him on the ship. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. You all mind if I run just a minute long here? I know that's tough for you, but if you've got to go, don't panic. You can just leave that camera going. I'm going to try to finish this. Ephesians chapter 1 is written to people that he had only heard of their faith. Because after he left, some Gentiles like you got saved. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus... Well, had he heard about those other people's faith? He had seen it. How did he know these people? They jumped upon his neck and kissed him and said, "Man, we're sorrowing most." He had never seen these Ephesians. These Ephesians are the ones that are outside of the covenant, having no hope. And so now the gospel had gone to a new group of people. What were these people? Idol-worshipping Gentiles. Nowhere, no place in Scripture would God have saved any of them. Are you listening to me? But now the grace of God had reached beyond the covenants of promise and could save Gene and Barry and Norm and you. Think about it. And you sing the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, a wretch, somebody outside the covenant, having no hope and without God in the world. And yet now I find out that God not only died for Israel as promised and to those Gentiles that feared God and blessed them, but God died for me. Hallelujah. You know what that means? That if I can be saved, anybody can be saved. Now, I did not finish my sermon, so I would highly recommend you not miss it next week on the middle wall of petition.